You're listening to Idaho Matters. I'm Frankie Barnhill, filling in for Gemma Gaudette. Idaho has a dark history of white supremacy, a history that tragically still shows up in our story today. But just as importantly, perhaps more importantly, the state is also home to a resilient and strong community of Black and African American Idahoans. For some, their history in this majority white state goes back generations. And as we envision an anti-racist future in Idaho, it's important to recognize their contribution. Today, I'm happy to be joined by two people committed to this work. Philip Thompson is the executive director of the Idaho Black History Museum in Boise, and Dan Everhart is the outreach historian with the State Historic Preservation Office. Welcome back to the show, both of you.
Thank you.
Thank you much.
Great. And Philip, I would love to start with you. For folks who don't know the history of the Black History Museum itself in Boise, the building itself, and maybe folks who haven't been there before, tell us about it, because the building itself is celebrating a big milestone this year, I understand.
Correct. Yeah, this year is our 100-year anniversary, which is kind of a microcosm of the Black experience in Idaho to begin with. I mean, everybody's aware of the Tulsa, Oklahoma race riots that also took place in 1921. So at the same time where Blacks were being terrorized in many parts of America, because that riot was one of 33 race riots, Blacks were able to find refuge in Idaho in that same year and actually erect a church in 1921. The church was the first Black church established in Idaho. It was actually founded by my great-great-grandfather and great-great-great-grandfather who came to Idaho in 1905.
And what were your relatives' names?
Reverend Hardy, and his father-in-law was a Stokes, Reverend Stokes.
Okay.
So Reverend Hardy was the actual preacher. Stokes was his father-in-law.
Okay. And Dan, you're working with Dr. Jill Gill from Boise State University to preserve and highlight some of these places in the state connected to Black history. We've had Professor Gill on the show before talking about the history of racism in Idaho. So what is the goal of these efforts, if you can tell us a little bit about it?
Absolutely, thank you. Dr. Gill has been an invaluable partner in this project. We here at the State Historic Preservation Office received a grant from our partners at the National Park Service a couple of years ago. And the purpose of that grant is to better document sites around the state of Idaho associated with Idaho's African-American civil rights movement. And so Dr. Gill wrote a pretty detailed history of that effort. It's a smaller portion than the larger Black history story across the state, but it's an important portion of that story. And we are using that document to allow properties across Idaho to be listed in the National Register of Historic Places for their association with the civil rights effort in the state. So two properties will be initially listed. The first of those will be the Bethel Baptist Church in Pocatello, which will be listed later this summer.
And I'd love to hear more about the story of the Bethel Missionary Baptist Church. Who founded it, and what is this community, and what is it this community today?
Well, it's actually a really, it's a similar story to the story that that Philip just mentioned about the church here in Boise. They similarly founded around the same time, and the building itself is sort of indicative of the work that Black Pocatellans had to complete in order to make it happen. They actually built a basement building, a dug-in building, which was used by the congregation for 30 years from 1922 until 1950-52, when they actually completed the first floor of the building as it stands today. So it was a matter of a lot of community effort on the congregation's part, and they're proud to be the oldest active African American congregation in the city of Pocatello.
And so today, keeping COVID concerns in mind, someone could go to this church and go to one of their services. Is that right?
Yep, absolutely. I don't know how they're meeting right now during COVID. I know that they've had some virtual services, but I don't know if they're meeting in person. But they're an active congregation, and they continue to meet. When they do meet in person, they meet in their historic 100-year-old building.
All right, so we're talking about Boise, we're talking about Pocatello, we're talking about the Black history throughout the state that some folks might not have heard about or know about. Philip, I wonder, what does this work mean to you? You know, why preserve and highlight Black spaces and artifacts in our state's history?
Well, my personal bias and reason to do so is because I think Idaho gets wrongfully vilified in this narrative regarding like we're some bastion of white supremacy, when historically everything, if you look at like what was going on in the United States at that same time here, they were actually well ahead of the curve, but we don't get credit for it because the story is told by those outside of Idaho. So it's more than high time for us to kind of know, let's correct the narrative and let people know and be aware of the history that Blacks served in Idaho, because it's just part of Idaho history. And then we can shine the light on these things that we've done remarkably well that are often overlooked, forgotten, or just flat out not known. Because let's be honest, Idaho's rather small, and our population of Blacks is even, you know, smaller.
Right.
So it's just not a story that people hear.
Right. And so both of those things can be true at the same time, that there is this dark history of racism, but there's also a strong and resilient history of Black pride and community leadership.
And I think this is America, so we have a lot of racism is, you know, part of our history. But if you look at, again, what we faced in Idaho, because we're such a small group, it was nowhere near the predatory threats or existential threats that we faced elsewhere. But nobody ever hears that story. I mean, Blacks were able to attend public school in Idaho in 1872. That's like 100 years before the rest of the country. But nobody is aware of that history.
Right, right. Well, Dan, I would love to talk a little bit more about, we've talked about some places, some churches, and others that you're working to preserve. I would love to hear about a particular person, a woman who lived in Boise's largely segregated and redlined river district. And in the 1950s, if I'm getting this right, she sent something to Martin Luther King in support of civil rights and what he was doing in the South. Tell us about who this person was and what she did.
Absolutely. Earline Browning lived at 502 South 14th Street in a little house that's still present on the street. And this was coinciding in 1956 with Dr. King and his Montgomery, Alabama bus boycott efforts. And so they were walking to work, to church, et cetera, to avoid the buses. And Earline sent a letter and a pair of shoes. And she said she was sorry that she couldn't send additional resources. She couldn't send any money, but she was gonna send those shoes so that some of the ladies could wear them and be sustained in their walking. So just this tiny little tie of Boise history to a national movement. It's an undertold story, and there are many of these undertold stories in Idaho history, and that's what we're trying to correct.
Yeah, so how are you working to acknowledge her contribution, minus, you know, talking about it on Idaho Matters? What else are you doing?
So the State Historic Preservation Office has launched just a small initiative to ask for essentially crowdsourcing of this historic information, not just about Earline's house, but about other properties around the state of Idaho. Idaho's Black population was concentrated in Pocatello and Boise, but we know that there are stories across the state, and we're asking folks to help us find them, to tell those stories and to document the sites. Sometimes the buildings will exist, sometimes they won't, but you'll be able to find a link to that information on our Facebook page and elsewhere online about this effort to collect stories on specific places associated with Idaho's Black history.
And we'll be sure to link to that so that folks, so they go to the Facebook and they would let you know, send a message that, hey, I think I have a place or a person that you should look into for acknowledging and highlighting Black history. Is that right?
Absolutely. So it's a form, a link to form that people can fill out some information, some locational information. And it's important to note that this effort isn't, we're not making this effort alone. We have partners like the Black History Museum, the NAACP, the Boise Arts and History Commission, Preservation Idaho, and others who are working on this effort to reflect the true American story and the true Idahoan story.
And Philip, in the minute or two that I have left, I would love to end with you. How are you at the museum marking Black History Month this year? And then how are you personally marking it as a Black man in Idaho who grew up and lives here still?
We've done a lot of, because of COVID, most of our work has been done with the colleges through Zoom, through Skype, through discussions. We spoke with the Rotary Club a couple of times. So it's been educational, first and foremost, and then springing into our biggest effort is going to be after Black History Month, because the attention is given during Black History Month quite well. But what's more important is the initiative that you're going to launch in thereafter to actually implement these things that people have spoken so widely about during Black History Month. But the important part is to actually have them be the catalyst to actually substantive change, as opposed to just talking, because we've spoken of these things for quite some time, but talking is pointless if you don't have action behind it. And that's what we'll spring into from March onward, because we've been very fortunate to have some organizations locally that want to partner and actually take a very leading step or position in rectifying some of these historical traditional ills that separate. Mm-hmm. It's a little easier here in Idaho because we have such a small population, and it'll be something that we can do. It might serve as a model of how we can kind of lessen these gaps of the Black and white population. So I'm looking forward to that above all.
Yeah. Well, thank you so much, both of you, for sharing your perspectives. And as I said, we'll link to that form so that folks can submit their ideas for recognition of Black history in Idaho. Philip Thompson, the executive director of the Idaho Black History Museum, and Dan Everhart is the outreach historian with the State Historic Preservation Office. Thanks to you both.
Thank you very much.
Thank you, ma'am.
And I'm Frankie Barnhill. You're listening to Idaho Matters. Stay with us.